we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
What we do not do is spy unlawfully on Americans.
We are leaving in 2014, period. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
You are listening to Biting the Bullet with Luke and Typo.
But I will have to leave at like 6:20 because I work.
Oh, you have work tonight?
Yeah, I didn't know. They fucking texted. Well, my boss texted me on Wednesday because I was on call for Friday, but I didn't even see the notification. And he called me on my way home to work from my other job. And he was like, hey, did you see my message? And I'm like, yep, I do now.
It's fucked. All right. Well, we'll get everything in an hour. We'll figure it out.
I can be a little late. It's okay. I'm leaving this fucking
place. What's he gonna do?
What are they gonna do? Fire you?
Exactly.
We leaving all this in so we can listen to it.
Yeah. It is kind of like I kind of feel like I'm not really like getting out of the military, but when I'm leaving both my jobs in 2 weeks, I mean, it's not that it's not like the military where I just didn't give a fuck about anything, but you know, might take a longer shit in the bathroom, might, you know, get little extra water breaks, you know, it's hot. And, but I don't know. I like both my jobs, but you know, I'm at that point where it's like, what's the point?
Why am I trying so hard?
Yeah.
Well, welcome everybody. We are joined with one of our buddies here in Arizona, Mike McFarland. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
You drinking with us? What are you drinking?
Kilt Lifter.
Oh, hell yeah. Arizona boy, Arizona raised, Arizona beer.
Yeah, even though they got bought out by fucking Anheuser.
It was a good beer. They, you know.
Yeah, still tastes good.
I'll allow it. we're going to bullshit like we do normally on this show, but Typo, how you doing today? I know you just gave your spiel about not giving a shit about your jobs and fuck your managers, but what else is going on?
Now I'm pretty mellow. I leave Arizona in a week, so I don't know. I'm just pretty mellow. Don't really give a fuck about my jobs that much, but I need the money, and that's the only reason I'm hanging on for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, that money thing's a bitch, man. That's how they get you every time.
It really gets in the way, dude. Gets in the way.
Has the cost of living gone up by you, or is it just Phoenix that's getting hit like this?
So, yeah, it's gone up. It doesn't hurt as bad because, well, at least for me, because I made a little bit above of, like, keep my head above water.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of I'm back to, like, my raise didn't really matter. You're bobbing? Yeah, because I first moved down here, man. A two bedroom was about 570 something. And now, just for an apartment, now a one bedroom is way more than that. It's like almost 700.
That's so wild.
Like relative to the local market, it's gone up a shit ton just in like the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I've been telling my managers, I was like, I'm doing a lot more. I got certified in a couple of different things this year. And then I running my own route, and I'm doing really well for where I am in the rest of the company. And I was like, hey, cost of living went up about at the minimum estimate is like 13%, and we get 3% raises every year. And I was like, and for a cost of living, and I'm like, hey, that's not going to cut it this year. You know, like, I'm making below mean average for what I need to survive here, and I'm not going to be able to survive on a 3% raise because there's no way in hell. There's just no way. And it's been wild up here. Everything has skyrocketed. Bread, milk, like gas has gone insane. It's fucking feels like the downfall of the empire a little bit, but I mean, it kind of feels very similar to 2008.
Yeah. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to be on the government tit already. So I didn't really feel the 08 stuff other than all of a sudden my mom didn't have a house anymore. And so I was like, wait, yeah. So like she was unfortunately one of the ones that kind of got hit with that stuff, like downsizing and then, you know, the interest payments got a little bit more intense.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, but I was in like I didn't find out about what was really happening till I got to like actually my probably the deployment in 2010 because yeah. I was looking at houses and I'm like, why is this house 60 grand? You know.
Well, and so when did you join? Was it 08?
Yeah, I left for basic in September of 08. Got an active duty. Actually, term of leave. I got out in July of 2011, right before all the Ron Paul stuff for 2012 kicked off.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. Well, you were big involved in the Ron Paul stuff, right?
Yeah, I. Yeah, I
that's was, how I, you got here, right?
Yeah, that's. I was itching. You know, I was like, I just got to get out of active duty, and then I can like. Change the world, man.
Well, so when you were while you were in, what did it for you that was like, all right, something's not right? Well, actually, first I'll back up. Why did you join in the first place?
You know, kind of a combination of things. Like I come from like a military kind of family. Grandfather was in the Navy during Vietnam on the USS Hornet, and you know, he always tells stories and stuff about being overseas and in Japan and Hong Kong and shit. And I was like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. Grew up in like a lower middle class family. So they're like, hey, man, you know, want a 26% interest Camaro and shit, you know, the whole fucking recruiter spiel. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, I was going to college. I went to PVCC for like a year out of high school. And everybody's bugging me, like, what are you going to do? What's your major? What are you going to do? I was like, I don't fucking know, dude. I'm not even supposed to be in college. I'm like, I should have been dead by now. Like, you know, my brother's in prison and shit. Like, so I was like, you know what? I'm tired of working two jobs, fucking working at Fry's and Costco and shit, just trying to pay rent and like pay for school. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I went to the Marine Corps first. Guess where all my buddies were going. But the Marine Corps recruiter was like, he just stunk of desperation. He showed up at my house after school one day, like, hey, man, what's up? Hey, I was like, dude, I told you I'd call you. Like, you know, like one of those desperate. Weird. Yeah, I was like, you know, we're not dating, bro. Like, so that I was like, nah, I don't. That's weird. Like, they're that desperate for people. Like, something's wrong with the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll go Air Force. I like jets and shit. So, and. The other thing too, when I was signing up at PVCC for the FAFSA shit, I'd moved out. So I moved out right after high school, immediately, like a month later.
You're like, I'm out of this bitch.
Yeah. I was like, I graduated. I did my shit. I can, you know, I can go do shit on my own now. But when you fill out the FAFSA, they're like, they consider you a dependent unless you're 25, married, or a veteran. I'm like, well, none of those things. And I went back and forth to the office like, no, like I fucking live on my own. I pay all my shit. Like my parents' tax records has nothing to do with whatever. Like, well, we can't give you any assistance because blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, I was like, I'm not getting married. That's for fucking sure. I was like, I'm not going to be 25 anytime soon. So I guess I'll just go ahead and do what I was going to originally do. Just join up military. And yeah, that's how I ended up in fucking South Dakota in the middle of nowhere, freezing my ass off.
Arizona boy in South Dakota.
Yeah. What'd you do in the Air Force?
I was a weapons systems technician. So basically bomb loader, essentially. I mean, we did some of the technical work on the system as a whole, but B1 was pretty stout. Didn't really have a lot of troubleshooting. I mean, it didn't really break that much, to be honest. There was some hydraulic issues and shit that we got cross-trained on, but it was mostly just, you know, bomb go up, bomb go down, you know, arm it, make sure the targeting pod's on there and shit. And then the A-10 later on when I was in the reserves was basically the same thing. That thing was like a flying tank, so there, not a lot of shit went on. As long as you maintained it, kept the sand out of everything.
Yeah, so what'd you did how many years active, how many reserve?
I did 3 years active and then 2 years reserve.
Gotcha.
Active reserve. I did, yeah, you know, the whole
2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah.
Whatever stuff. I don't, yeah. I had a lot of guys in my radio operating class when I went to my, my schoolhouse that almost all of them were reservists. There was like five of us that were active. It was wild. I was like, y'all aren't here for like to do the other shit. And they're like, no, man, like I'm going home and going to school, I guess. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was an option. I think I kind of regret this now. Your guys' life sounds better. You get all of the perks, but get to be a civilian while doing it. And here I am, active duty. And then at the end of it, top of my class, like the top two get to pick where they want to go. And I was like, I want to go overseas. I want to go to like Germany or some shit like that. But they only give you overseas, West Coast, East Coast. So it's not like you get to pick where you go overseas. So I put overseas as my number one and they're like, dope, you're going to Japan. And I was like, aw, that sucks.
Fucking Marines in Japan, man.
I know. Dude, it's a worse place for us. It's such, well, especially the island they give us. Like, it's the one of the smallest islands in Japan. And it's like, you just put, I don't know, how many Marines do you think are in Japan there, typo? Probably like 100,000 altogether.
There's not even 100,000 Marines.
Oh yeah. There's not.
if there might be exactly 100,000, but there's not that many.
That
Marines.
Makes sense.
I don't know
how many.
There's
fucking
probably like 20,000 troops altogether, including the Air Force and then Army base there.
But
I have no idea.
The Marine Corps feels so big. I didn't know. I didn't realize it was only 100,000 people.
Yes,
it feels giant because we're everywhere and we're like on almost every Air Force base, almost every Army base. There's like pockets of us everywhere. Like I hear about a new base every time I talk to a new Marine.
Yeah, we're not going to carry on golf clubs around. That'd be ridiculous.
All right.
No, that was the Army. We made those fuckers do that.
Yeah. So South Dakota, what base is up there? What
Ellsworth.
Base were you at? Ellsworth?
Ellsworth Air Force Base, home of the 28th Bomb Wing. I was part of the 34th Bomb Squadron. Well, they get mad when you say the squadron because those are technically the pilots, but the 34th Aircraft Maintenance Unit.
Oh, you're not good enough to say squadron, basically.
The pilots get all pissy, like, that's our thing. I'm like, whatever. Fix your shit.
Dude, that's so wild. Isn't it weird how there's like weird-ass cliques like that?
Yeah, because like you guys have, you know, pogues and shit, and like the Air Force, we don't have an equivalent, but like if there's anything close, we'd call them nonners because they're like all the office people that don't do shit, and then they bitch about the air conditioning being out and stuff, and it's like, bro, it's 160 degrees out there under that jet, like I don't care about your air conditioning.
Go fuck your air conditioning. We always give one of our friends shit because she's in the Air Force and she was on, where was she at? Kuwait. She got to go to Kuwait or something like that. And
Turkey.
She was, Turkey. Well, no, she's in Turkey now, but she went on that deployment. It was in like,
oh, Jordan.
Jordan. She was in Jordan. And we're like, dude, that's not a fucking real deployment. And she was like, my little house or whatever had air conditioning. And we're like, get the fuck out of here. I didn't even have air conditioning in my barracks, bro.
Barracks probably didn't even have walls. Just
Well, the walls that we did have, they were just black mold.
Yeah.
That was a big problem with that.
Ellsworth is one of, like, as far as Air Force bases goes, Ellsworth's probably one of the worst ones. Minot's worse in North Dakota because it's out in the middle. Dude, it's in the middle of nowhere. And it's old, shitty missile silo base. And they've got B-52s up there and fucking, you know, a bunch of oil drilling shit around it. Like, that's it. And it's cold as shit.
Yeah, North Dakota is fucking freezing. So you were there 2009?
Yeah. Finished training in spring of 2009. Got to my first duty station. Yeah, I got there like March.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah, prepare for a blizzard and shit. Make sure you have food. I'm like, that's not a real thing.
Snow's not real. That's just something in movies.
I woke up and like literally up to the second story, the building was buried in snow. I'm like, oh shit, I guess the chow hall's not open. So I guess I'm not going to eat for a couple days.
All right, so the Air Force is just as stupid as the Marine Corps. It's all a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's different, but it's the same.
Yeah. Well, everybody tries to act like they're really smart in the Air Force because they went and joined the Air Force, but I'm like, dude, I've seen some of y'all, and like, dude, I never saw, well, that's a lie, I've seen more gang violence here in Phoenix, Arizona, but never saw more gang violence than in Japan than when I went to fucking Kadena Air Force Base, because, like, dude, the Air Force is ghetto. The Air Force is fucking ghetto.
It's ghetto as fuck. That's the thing, dude. All these kids think like, oh, I'll do the Air Force and it'll be good. But like, it's all these street kids and they're the ones that like just made it. Then they get sucked. Like, we had a meth lab on our base at Ellsworth. Literally. Like, I can't caught fire and shit. And they're like, I was like, how did they, what? Like,
nobody thought to check out that random like trailer that's just been sitting out there for the last 6 months. Like,
just parked off to the side by the ammo dump somewhere. But yeah, man, like shit like that and other stuff that I saw throughout the time I was there was just leading up to me being like, what the everything I ever thought the military was or could be or was supposed to be is a fucking lie.
Yeah.
Like, completely.
Did you grow up more conservative since you were here in Arizona, or were you, or not real, or apolitical?
Kind of apolitical. I'd say slightly more conservative. But I was never like steered anywhere. Like my family never really pushed any political or religious stuff on me. Really. They just let me kind of wander around. Like, I went to so many churches as a kid. Politics was kind of the same thing. Like, it was
dabbled in everything.
Yeah. Like, I was a Obama Democrat, like kind of for a little bit. And then, cause I did not like McCain and I was dumb enough, you know, at 17, 18 to think, oh yeah, hope and change, dude. That sounds radical, man. He's gonna totally like, and then, you know, being sent off to deploy like immediately after he's elected, I'm like, that motherfucker.
This motherfucker. Well, what's an Air Force deployment like?
It depends, honestly. Like, so we have like legit, like we got PJs and we got
the PJs, like, are dope.
Yeah. So there's legit deployments out there. Even the civil engineer dudes, we've got, I think they're called Red Horse. They're not special forces, but they're kind of a unique civil engineering unit because they go in, they drop where there's nothing, and they build a fucking airbase. And they got to be trained like the combat controller guys on how to, like, you know, fend off attacks, because they're basically like in Afghanistan. They're like, we're just going to set up an airbase. So those guys are pretty legit. They go through the Army paratrooper school, the airborne school and stuff. For me, most weapons units or maintenance units, anything with aircraft, it kind of depends on the aircraft. For us, we're long range. So I was in Qatar, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So for me personally, it was awesome. I was like, dude, there's no fucking snow. Everything's brown and tan again. It's nice and hot. It was humid as shit. But Qatar had, we had a Pizza Hut, we had a fucking Burger King. You could go get a massage. Yeah. There's a pool. Like, legit, you could get a facial and shit on the base, like all these TCNs.
I bet you got plenty of facials in Qatar.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, when the Navy guys came over. But the Brits there, dude, the Brits party, like, so apparently, I didn't know this, that this is what they're telling me. The Brits, wherever they're deployed, wherever they have like a station, they don't consider it like they're just renting the space from people. They were an empire for so long. They're like, no, this is just the Queen's land. So like, they got all the alcohol rations taken away from the whole base because they were just pissed drunk, pissing in the bunkers, going out like half naked, you know, and all of, like, we're in an Arab country, bro. Like, alcohol is a no-go to begin with, but they make exceptions for us because we have, you know, bombs and guns and stuff, and we're going to protect. Qatar doesn't have a military. They have like, I think they had one airplane, and it was a C-17 or a C-5 that we gave them, basically, or sold to them or something. That was like their only Air Force thing. It was just this cargo jet that just, I don't know what the fuck it did. They didn't have an army either, so I guess they're just flying in hookers and
they're just partying, bro.
Yeah, the custom agents there, dude. I was talking to the one dude He had a G-Wagon, a Lexus, and some Mercedes as a basically equivalent of like a Border Patrol / TSA agent. Because if you're like in the royal family, or a, like you have to be kind of part or adjacent to the royal family in Qatar to be an actual citizen. Otherwise, you're all just like peons. Like you don't have full rights there. They all get like 150 grand equivalent of US dollars a month just to live, just to be alive. And they get like a land grant when they're 18 or some shit.
Oh, so Jesus, that's dope.
Yeah, dude, you go out there and like there's all these Ferraris and random shit just like on the side of the road on blocks because like they ran out of gas or they had a flat tire. And instead of just like fixing it, they're like, I'll just buy another Ferrari. And like, seriously, just like go down the fucking highway and it's just sitting there. You're like, is that what the fuck? Where are we? What is this place? Gas was 18 cents a gallon.
Did you ever mingle with like the, I guess not the peons there?
Yeah. We got invited, you know, not personally. When I tell non-military guys this, I just play it up like, oh yeah, dude, me and the prince are pretty tight. But you know how you go someplace and like the dignitaries or the congressmen, whoever the fuck, like, yeah, I want to look like I'm a normal person. So we'll invite some of the shitty military people to come do stuff.
We'll invite so we got, the slaves.
Yeah. So it looks like I'm a man of the people. So the prince, one of the princes, is a really avid race car driver. He like drag races and all kinds of shit. And Qatar's got a really nice racetrack. They have MotoGP there and shit. So he invited a bunch of people. You could like sign up or whatever to go out and do his drag race that he had there. And we had like these VIP passes where you could like go wherever the fuck you want, basically around the track. So some of the dudes, I think it was my buddy Johnny. I think he was one of the ones who went out there like in the middle. So you know where the on the track, they've got the fucking stand with the lights on it and the car. He was like right there. He's just wow. Like, I guess, went up there between the two cars. It was just chilling. But it was kind of cool because all of the tribal leader type people, royal family, whatever the fuck, I don't know who's who or who's what. I just know if they have like, if all of their shit's clean, then they're probably part of the upper echelon because they all drove like, I mean, if you drove an older model Lexus, you're considered like poor among them. So like they had all these Bentleys and shit with these tents set up and they're smoking hashish and stuff out of their hookahs and just chilling. And I was like, this is fucking weird. Like where am I right now?
What was their attire?
I forget what the fuck it's called. I bought a pair of them cause they're actually pretty comfy. The pajama thing, you know, the robe, the white robe thing. Cause they're like nice linen and breathe really well out there. So it's actually like legit. I just wish I would have remembered to pack it. I don't know what, I think someone took it to be honest. Cause at the end of the deployment, everybody's just grabbing shit and throwing it in, trying to get stuff back home. But yeah, they wore, I mean, some of them wore suits, but most of those guys were the security guys. They had like private security and stuff. They were like Westerners. I don't know if they're like Chechens or some shit, but they weren't Arabs. A lot of them were Western. I guess they're more expendable.
Yeah,
the white guys take the bullets.
They were probably just like former U.S. military. They were like, "Fuck this, Qatar was dope. Maybe I can get in with the fucking family, bro."
Yeah, it was nice, dude. If it like, I liked it there. I was like, I'd go back. You know, if I could ever afford to fly back here and like hang out. They were building like crazy. Qatar doesn't have oil money really. They have natural gas money. That's I guess their big thing, but they have a shitload of it because I feel like, I don't know, maybe 15 skyscrapers went up just in the 7-8 months I was there deployed. Wow. You know, they were just like putting shit up like crazy. Yeah, dude, it was nuts. That's also where they built that big FIFA World Cup thing they were supposed to have too.
Oh, okay. Wow. Did you ever meet the peons, I guess?
Okay, so I don't know. You guys probably have heard about those, the TCNs. We call them TCNs, but they're just like slave labor over there. I never met them because they keep them away and they keep you away from the camps. But I saw where the camps were way out in the distance. And like literally, if you go on Google Maps, you can see they call it something. some innocuous name on Google, it's like, oh, this is like the Funtime Playland place or whatever the fuck. But like, that's where all of like the Pakistani and Indian and like migrant workers are. And like, they had that, you know, we, you know, for a quote, a deployment, like we were way better off than they were. They were literally in like shithole, like kind of tents that were like, well, you know, like the Marine Corps. When you guys go, it was like that.
It was a Marine Corps camp.
Yeah. But yeah, those guys, I escorted them around every now and then. I got pulled for that duty because they have to be escorted when they're on post. Doing, you know, like the, and of course I got the one that was emptying all the shitters. So I had to escort those guys around. Most of them don't speak any English or very, like they'll know like cigarette, and like, sir, and please and stuff like, or bathroom, like, you know, simple words, but they also, most of them couldn't talk to each other because they had like, you know, you had like Bangladeshi and Pakistans and some people from like different tribes in Afghanistan somehow. Cause one of the translators was like, yeah, that dude's speaking Pashtun. I don't know why. that's kind of odd to hear out there. So I don't know how he got here.
Dude, that's wild. Well, that had to have been one of the like the wake up calls. Like, yo, we're protecting this. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Well, and that just the Air Force wastes. I feel bad for the Marine Corps because you guys get the hand me downs already. But the Air Force is out like, yeah, we're just gonna blow a few million bucks just because we can, like, on stupid shit. Seeing some of that was kind of like another thing where I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this is. You know, because at that point I already understood, like, this is money we took from people that are working out there in the real world, and we're just pissing it away because it's the end of the fiscal year, or I don't know, we just want new office chairs that no one's allowed to sit in for some reason, and like just stupid shit. Like, they bought a bunch of fucking TVs for the dorm common rooms, the sunrooms, and no one ever uses them. No one ever uses those fucking sunrooms because the MPs like to hang out and like bust underage drinkers and shit because that's, you know, they score
what happens on their ass fat. Yeah, well, that's what happens in, you know, common rooms. It's like everybody's drinking. It doesn't matter what age you are, because it's a Marine or a military base in general.
Yeah, so we kind of stopped doing that. Just would go to somebody's room or like find somebody off base and just fucking jet. But so yeah, those things were never used. They brought brand new at the time. Those TVs had to have cost upwards of $1,500 a piece, probably for. And then, like, I think I turned one of them on one day and realized it wasn't hooked up to anything. It was just fucking sitting there on the wall. Like, it's just, you know, fucking black and white snow screen. It's like, it's like, okay, it's just this TV for no reason. And then, yeah, like, I did the Fallen Warriors ceremony stuff there because Qatar is a pass-through for the KIAs.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of flag ceremonies and shit, and that was, like, pretty jarring at the time because, you know, I'm sitting here on my quote deployment and I'm like, ah, because my buddies in 3-7 at 29 Palms were out there in Afghanistan at the time when I was there too. So I'm like, fuck. And we had internet and communications and stuff, but I didn't really communicate that much because we were so fucking busy most of the time.
Yeah.
And the internet was pretty shitty. So, you know, it's always like, damn, was this Benji in this casket? Is he okay out there? Like, and then it's like, you know, what the fuck are they even out there for? Like, every time we, especially the Air Force, we were there for, our mission was mostly overwatch and surveillance. The first part of the deployment, it was like kind of free for all. It's like, you see some shit, you just bomb it. If they call it in, you got clearance. But they changed the ROE at the second half after, because 2010 was like the push to try to, like, the troop surge to try to push them back into like Pakistan and stuff.
Yeah, like the third troop surge.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was just like, yeah, just drop bombs. We don't care. Which when we watch the after action videos of, you know, the surveillance stuff that we get to watch, it's like, fuck, that was, we blew up an entire village to get one RPG team. Like, and, you know, not even just like the cost of the bombs and stuff, but it's like, did we clear the village or did we just fucking drop? Like, cause you don't really know what's going on the ground necessarily. And then they changed to, which I don't know, at the time I thought it was worse. I still think it was kind of worse. They changed our ROE where it was like, no, you have to get like three levels of command to sign off on any drops, even if the friendlies are taking immediate fire. because basically we blew up too many civilians and they're like, we don't want you dropping shit anymore. They even neutered our bombs.
Yeah, it's like one of those weird things, right? Where, well I'm going to ask you about the neutered bombs here in a second, but it's like one of those weird things where it's like the government can't do anything just like normal, like in middle of the road. Like it's got to be one extreme or the other. And, you know, a lot, like, I think when I first got in, I think I had the opinion on, we just got to take everybody out. Like, if that's what it is, yeah, then that's what it is. We just got to take everybody out. Let's go fucking do it and get it over with. And, you know, we'll be the people that, you know, may go down in history as, you know, if it was like my group or whatever, like it was the Marine Corps or whatever, I was like, we'll go down in history as the really, really shitty people. But it ended up working out better for society as a whole. And then by the end of it, I was like, I was kind of the same way where I was like, we dramatically need to pull absolutely out, because now the ROEs are, I have to get 7 levels of clearance while I'm getting shot at. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here in this situation to be able to either call for fire or just like, thankfully at that point in time, I knew when I was going for my workup in 2006, or I guess it was 2015 into 16. I didn't do it. I didn't go on the deployment, but when I was doing the workup for it, we were getting taught ROEs and things like that. And they're like, you're supposed to, you know, we have to get, if they shoot at you, you can shoot back, but make sure you know what you're shooting for, or else you're going to get fucked up because of it. And then if it was for calls of fire, I know Jared, who our buddy, when he was on the show, he would talk about how he would always get denied for any calls of fire. He was a JTAC. So, or not a JTAC, he was a JFO, forward observer, a joint forward observer, or whatever. And he would talk about how he got denied all the time for any kind of air support, because it was just, it had to go through like 2 different commands and then to a lawyer. And it was like, nope, that lawyer would always be like, nope, we've already exceeded the amount of, you know, casualties that we decided is the correct amount or objective amount. And it's just wild to me. This is like one, it's one or the other. It's too far one way, too far the other way. And then it just honestly hurts everybody.
Yeah. I think toward the end there, we had to have, like, I may be misremembering, but I think we had to have the CENTCOM commander sign off on drops.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like what the fuck? And funny enough, actually, my buddy, so we can't confirm this yet. I've been thinking about doing a Freedom of Information Act and see if I can get the tape. But my buddy, I told my friend's dad, this is how I met all the 3-7 guys, because he was in 3-7. He ended up dying on his way back to base because he flipped his car. But I was telling his dad the story about one of the, they do like debriefings and intel stuff for the maintenance guys to make us feel like we're contributing or whatever. Even though they don't give a shit about us, they just like, fix my fucking jet, grease monkey. But one of the sniper pod footages was this Marine Corps convoy taking fire from this palm grove. And so I was telling him about this and he's like looking at me strange. And I'm like, what, you know, like, why are you looking at me like that? What the fuck is that? You know, like I couldn't tell if he thought I was like making something up or something, cause I was in the Air Force. I don't know what I'm talking about or something like that. But he's like, that's fucking crazy. Cause Benji just told me, he was telling the story about when they were taking fire from this palm grove over there in Afghanistan. I'm like, there's no fucking way. So we're kind of thinking that it might've been them. Cause the way he described it was exactly, dude, when we talk about danger close, they were fucking danger close. They were within 180 meters of, 80 meters of a fucking 2,000 pound airburst that we dropped, if that was them, because it rocked their MRAPs. Like, it lifted them because they were so close to the blast.
Jesus Christ.
And he was telling the story. Benji was on, he was in weapons company. He was on, what do you guys have mounted? It's the 50s mounted, I guess. So he was on the 50 and he ducked down because the first ones we dropped were 500s, and then our sniper pods can see shit moving. It's got thermals on it from like 7 miles away. We can see. So like, oh shit, stuff's still moving in the palm grove. And the Marines are like, yeah, we're still taking fire. So they circled back. 500 pounders weren't enough. So they dropped like 2,000 pound airbursts. And this time Benji's like, yeah, then I ducked because the first time was pretty rough. So this time I ducked down, and when they hit, he said it lifted their fucking trucks up on two wheels and then dropped it back down. That's how close it was.
Christ. Oh my God. Do you know if anyone flipped over at all?
No, they didn't flip. I guess they had a couple, I think they still had a couple Humvees at the time because the Marine Corps was like last to get anything new. They only had like maybe
we still one. Have Humvees.
The Army, I guess, has the Guard, I think, has Humvees still, but they don't really use them operationally as far as I know. They're just still giving them to you guys to use up.
Yeah, who were we talking to? I don't remember who we were talking to, but they were, maybe it was Shane. And they were talking, or it might not have been Shane. I don't know. We were talking to somebody, and they were talking about the initial invasion, and they were riding around, and they weren't even armored for the Marine Corps. And I was like, yo, what? Like, thankfully, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure all of our on deployments now, all the vehicles that we use are definitely fucking armored. But they're just still Humvees, which are horrible armored. They can't, like, our Humvees are like probably the worst. They're probably worse than the Model T's that were first invented. They are so bad. They overheat all the time. The AC is always broken. Like, the engines and suspensions and the transmissions are always fucked. It's wild. But yeah, that's the fact that they were in Humvees, and they were, if they had Humvees on that specific mission, that's fucking wild. I'd be freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, I think they were doing, I can't remember what he's saying. I think he was going to a FOB somewhere because they were basically in charge of a certain area to try to kind of flesh out and do security. So they were kind of going from place to place. And it was funny. I guess they made fun of him a little bit because after that second drop, somehow a fucking donkey escaped all of that explosions. So he saw it like in the distance, just something moving, and he just fucking lit it up. So everybody else was like making fun of him, calling him like donkey killer and shit. But I mean, I don't know for sure that was us that dropped, because we have, you know, F-18s are in the area too, that do Overwatch, and the 16s and stuff too. But the way I saw the sniper FUD footage, that was like exactly what happened. Like, they were like right there, you know, like within 80 meters or less of that fucking palm grove, and they just got lit up, and we just went in there. And that was like one of the last times we were able to really drop like that, because after that, the ROE was like, oh, you got to do a show of force. It's like, we're in a fucking airplane. Okay, so the B-1 like dip down, do hyper supersonic and pop flares and then go back up or something. But eventually they caught on to that. Like, they're not that dumb. Eventually they're like, oh shit, they're not dropping bombs. They're just flying around. So we have more time to like shoot, you know, before we actually have to start running.
Oh, look at the stupid Americans. They're just showing off right now. That's fucking wild.
Did they use those things a lot after that?
We almost weren't allowed to use 2,000 pounds anymore after a little bit after that. It wasn't that incident or anything, but when the ROE changed, we actually changed our loadout. It's been long enough, I can probably talk about it. So we went to fucking GBU. We were doing 28s and 32s, if I remember right. But anyway, they're guided bomb units. They've got different tails that guide differently. Some are laser, some are GPS guided, some are just like semi-dumb. Like, you pick a coordinate and it'll kind of drop roughly where you want it. But what they did is the smaller 500 pound class bomb, is they switched to a new one that only had, instead of having its usual, I think 100 and some odd pounds of explosives in it, it would drop down to literally like 45 pounds, which is still, I mean, it's still going to fuck some shit up, but yeah. Like, when you're dropping from 35,000 feet or above, it's like, okay, well, that's a little firecracker. And basically their contention was that we've got smart bombs and now we can drop stuff through, you know, a car window if we want to, which is true. So they wanted to minimize the collateral damage and all that kind of stuff, which is true, but I don't know. We couldn't drop the big ones, and the pilots just didn't, the weapons officers, the WIZOs and stuff didn't even like using those other bombs, because I mean, it's kind of like throwing a grenade from an airplane kind of thing. Like, you know, We're pretty accurate, but it's not always the case. I mean, you're out there in the live action environment. Sometimes shit happens and you just don't hit the, I mean, we had a lot of duds that one killed a person still because it hit them directly behind a wall. Jeez. Yeah. It skipped. So you watch on the video, like the dude's hunkered behind a wall and, you know, shooting at our guys, and they dropped it. They wanted to drop it so they could have a big enough blast area and not drop it right on the guy or whatever. So it dropped like right in front of them. And you've probably seen all those Adobe like mud walls that they have behind that. It just skipped and whoosh, went right through the wall, hit the, it just crushed the dude. Like, it's like, well, it didn't go off, but it still killed that dude. Or he, if he's not dead, he's going to be dead soon.
That was probably the most accurate bomb, you guys. The least collateral.
One person.
The least collateral damage bomb right there.
Yeah. There was a jet they wanted to rename the Wedding Crasher because before I got there, the rotation before that hit a wedding. And by all accounts, from... I don't know. I've seen different things out in the public where like it was an accident, but from all accounts I've seen, it wasn't really like they had clearance. They basically did a calculation and said there's too many high value targets at this wedding, or that was the intel that they had at least. And they didn't really know it was a wedding, but they knew it was like some kind of gathering, you know, but there was a bunch of kids, you know, women, families and stuff there. But
Did you know about the collateral damage or the casualties, that like the numbers of casualties that were taken?
They didn't really let us know all that stuff. In fact, looking back on it, I know that they edited the videos pretty heavily when they did the after action stuff for us, because they would just show like, oh, a thing, and then boom, and then, oh, okay, another thing. So you don't really see. There's only one instance where I kind of got the idea that, okay, we're probably causing more issues collateral damage wise than they're showing us, because they had a video of them chasing a RPG team and they dropped one 500 pound bomb and it messed one guy up pretty bad, but not enough to like stop him from running. He got back up, started running. The other guy like got knocked down but didn't seem to hurt him too much, and he started running, dropped another 500 pound bomb. Like, they're just chasing these dudes and dropping, like, I mean, these bombs aren't cheap, man. Like, these are hundreds of thousands of bucks plus the fuel and maintenance and shit, just to get two guys who have already like given up. Like, they're gone. They dropped the RPG tube and shit. They had like one shot, you know, they're running away. And they dropped, and then they finally dropped a 2000 pounder bomb, or just fucking it. So they brought
basically
three bombs to get like just these two guys. So that's when I kind of realized, like, we're probably hitting more stuff, especially in these village areas where, because that's what they would do. You know, they shoot and then they move to cover
right
behind civilians and shit. So I'm sure, I mean, you never really, even the stuff we saw, you never really see people. You don't see the damage, but you kind of wonder, like, how many people were in that, you know, square block that just got leveled?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, like, from just the culture itself, it's very family oriented. So there's like a shit ton of people in a lot of those places. Like, yeah. Well, and not all the time. Sometimes there's no one there. Sometimes there's a family of eight in there. You just never really know. And they never really care to find out, which in a time of war, it's probably not the best to find out. But at the same time, it's like, from the standpoint that we're coming from, it's like, well, was all of this even needed in the fucking first place? Like, that's the really big, like, that's the big picture, right? Like, is this needed to... for our goal to be accomplished? Like, was that necessary? And it always comes back to, at least in the libertarian perspective, I think a lot of things come back to, like, what is the necessary amount of force to subvert the negative action that you're saying I'm required to use force against, right? It's like, if somebody steals my shit and they're gone, or let's say somebody comes, punches me in the face, and I beat the shit out of them, and they're disabled at that point. Like, they're not disabled, but they're not able to hit me again. And then I go on to kill them. It's like, all right, maybe you took something too far. Like, I think most people would be like, oh shit, like that's too much. And that's kind of what Iraq and Afghanistan looks like. I mean, especially Iraq. But Afghanistan as well, it's like majority of those people had nothing to do with any of what has happened for our original calculation of why we wanted to go there in the first place. And it's like, fuck. And now we've been there for 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
Dude, when whenever you got clearance or whatever for targets, did you know the targets, if they were, well, would they even say that they were associated with some terrorist group or anything like that?
They wouldn't give necessary specifics, but they would be identified as hostiles. So, you know, they wouldn't say like if it was Al Qaeda or Taliban or some other faction, but they would definitely say like, hey, this is, well, and this is where it's still stupid now. The segregation of the military is so dumb. I think at this point, it's like, it needs to be one force. The fact that we have these different change of commands that aren't talking to each other, they're getting better about it. You know, not to sound like a status or whatever, but if we're going to have a fucking military, like the army would have intel, and it's like the game of telephone, right? So like the wedding thing. So I've heard other things about the wedding bombing that was like, well, the intel that was passed to the people that actually pulled the trigger, basically metaphorically, or if you want to call pushing the bomb button, was that like they considered it was some kind of like terrorist gathering. Like it was a meeting of some kind. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, during that time, even, and that's another reason that 9/11 was so fucked up. Like intelligence agencies were just like, nah, we're just not going to tell them because it's going to be our thing. Cause we want to be the, it's like, okay, well, then look what happens, you know? So yeah, they would say something along lines of it's hostile, forces, you know, an X area and that kind of thing. I know when the ROE changed, it was a little bit different. It was basically like they would direct the, at least us, because we can loiter pretty much forever because they would have aerial refueling out there. They limited the pilots to like 12, 14 hours though, because they would just get so goddamn tired after a while. Like they can only take so much meth before they have to like go and sleep finally.
That's why they had that refueling station in South Dakota.
Yeah. Well, it's like a weird open secret. Like they just call them go pills. And it's literally just amphetamines. I don't know what brand or what type, but that's all it is. Just an amphetamine pill.
Is this prescribed?
Probably.
Ish.
It's probably just fucking speed. Like they're just up there doing speed.
Yeah, when I watched them, they were just literally like, here's your blah, blah, blah. Like I think it's the flight doc that gives it to them. So it's not like it's just some, you know, it's not Craig, you know, down the street in the on-base meth lab doing it, but
yeah.
But I don't think it's really, well, it's like the prescription of all the weed stuff in California. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, you got a prescription. It's like, okay.
Yeah. 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 I just didn't know if it was like, this came from the military or if this was like just something the pilots adopted and were like, hey, you take this when you're up there and it helps you.
That's a good question. I don't know that for sure. Actually. The way I saw it, I assume the way everybody talks about it and the way it goes, I assume it's, you know, a government program. I mean, when I went there, I got sick once, the swine flu, and I got my whatever prescription. And then I go up to the pharmacy and I give them the fucking note and shit. And they're like, anything else? I was like, I was like, what? Oh yeah. You want anything else? I'm like, I just have the one paper. Like, yeah, but like, you know, you having trouble sleeping. Like, I was like, is this a trap? Are you fucking OSI or something? I was like, are you guys really just handing shit out? And I think they're handing stuff out. Cause we had a dude like who's snorting pills and shit. Cause he just got a bunch of prescriptions, said, oh, this and that. And they just gave it to him. So I think they're pretty loose. Cause they're like, well, if we keep you sedated or happy, then you're less likely to tear up our property because you're bored.
Yeah. Well, I had one of my mom's friends, she was in the Air Force and she had like a really bad sinus problem. But I just remembered like every time we hung out with her, because she played softball with my mom. And every time we hung out with her, she would be like, oh, I got to take my stuff. And she'd have like a handful of fucking pills to take. And I was like, why is she like, she's in the military. Why is she taking so many pills all the time? And then I fucking joined and I got my wisdom teeth out in boot camp. And I also got bronchitis at the same time, like a really bad case of bronchitis. You know, you're yeah, sucking dick. I got bronchitis from sucking dick. But yeah, I got a really bad case of bronchitis and they gave me like, I had like 6 pills a day I had to take. And I swear to God, like I've had bronchitis outside of the military, like when I was in high school and stuff, and it was one pill. I had teeth work done and it was one fucking pill. Like if anything, I thought I was going to be taking 2 pills max.
like maybe twice a day, but I had like six pills to take. And then it's Marine Corps boot camp. So I'm sitting there and they're like, all right, you ready to take your pills? And they make you take it online. So like you're lined up with all the other kids that have to take their fucking pills because they have this, that, or the other. And then they make you shove all the pills in your mouth and then finish a bottle of water all in a time count. And it was like, this is fucking hell. Like, what the fuck is this? But I don't know. It's weird hearing the other side, though, like to switch subjects. It's weird hearing the other side about, you know, like the air side of it, because, you know, in the Air Force, you're kind of, for the most part, even if you're pilots, you're, distanced from the actual combat. And do you think that has any like effect mentally, like either they give a shit less in the Air Force because they're not actually involved in or seeing the people face to face, where I know a lot of guys in the Marine Corps or in the Army that have been in situations where they're like, I don't know if I need to shoot this person or not. And then they see a gun and it's or they think they see a gun or things like that. And that usually fucks them up pretty bad. Is it different in the Air Force because most of the time you guys are pretty distanced?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, if you ever remember that, you know, they called it collateral murder video of the helicopter pilots, the Army, I think it was the Army, and they had an Apache lighting those guys up. And, you know, I defended that shit when I was a little bit younger, and I still kind of do from some of the criticisms that they were given, because they're like, that's how can they behave that way? And I'm like, that is exactly how you're supposed to behave. Like we break shit and we kill people. That's the only job, in my opinion, of the United, any military, like that's your job.
Absolutely.
How you do that, you know, in terms of moral, like sending us to kill people that don't need to be killed or whatever. But, in essence, like that's the job. So yeah, if you've watched that, they were kind of, you know, people commented, oh, it's like a video game and stuff. And it's kind of, you know, when you're removed that way, I think it makes it easier. But I also think that that's kind of a mechanism. In order to function and not break down, you have to otherize the enemy. You have to, you know, they're not human to you. They're a zombie or they're a robot or an other. I think it's easier definitely in the Air Force. You're far away. And especially, you know, the Air Force, I won't speak for the pilots necessarily, but they're so far up. I mean, they can see stuff, but it's just an infrared signature on their screens and they push a couple buttons and they're flying around. I think being on the ground makes it harder to otherize especially if you're there and you have to like look at somebody. Although,
or you're constantly involved with the populations on a day-to-day basis.
Especially this stupidity of a war we've got ourselves into, this hearts and minds bullshit. I mean, that could be the statist part of me or whatever you want to call it, but like, this is why I don't agree with humanitarian or nation building missions for the military. It's like, no, you send the military to utterly wreck whatever the fuck is in front of them. Otherwise they stay at home. Like you don't do this piece like that, because that's not what they're trained to do. And they tried to adjust training. Like you saw this stuff with the Army, especially. They tried to kind of adjust the way they trained their folks. And even with us, like IED Alley, but like we'd go and like there'd be fake, you know, villagers and stuff you're supposed to interact with. But they fuck you up because they're like, oh, just kidding. The little kid's got a fucking AK and now you're all dead. And it's like, oh, okay. So are we supposed to be like befriending these people or just not trusting fucking anybody we see? I don't think there's a good way, especially with a guerrilla warfare type insurgency situation, there's no way to do both or I don't think you can do a hearts and minds thing. And it's played out to where I think I'm right. I just don't think it's possible. Most of them didn't even know they were fucking Americans that showed up. They thought we were Russians.
I know. That was the big thing. I love that story. Scott Horton tells that story way better than I could, but it's very true. It's like, dude, there's villages that still to this day think they're fighting Russians. Like they, like for the most part, probably the majority of them obviously understand that if there's white people or, you know, whatever, it's US military. But at the same time, like they were literally, especially at the onset,
they thought that they were fighting the Russians again from the 80s.
Yeah, because they don't. Oh, go ahead, Tyber.
Well, I was going to ask a different question, so go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, we, like, you know, not to go off on a fucking tangent about history, but like, we, the West in general has just fucked everything up from like World War One on, trying to like design these borders around stuff we had no clue about. So like these tribes, they're like, what is Afghanistan? Like they don't even really have a concept of that country in general, much less the fact that they're at a war. Cause you go to there and like, we're not at war. I farm this field and like I sell stuff. Like, what are you talking about? Like I have nothing to do with that. So, but yeah, go ahead, Typo. Sorry.
I was just going to ask, were people very sympathetic at all in the Air Force toward the people there, or was it a lot of people that had disdain for them?
That's a good question. I'd say at the time, I started to break down a little bit toward the end because I was doing the Fallen Warrior ceremonies a lot and seeing all the caskets with the American flags coming in and stuff. And I don't mean breaking down like losing my shit necessarily, but I was starting to realize like, man, these people are dead. Like this casket's got a body in it. This could be one of my friends, you know, like, I don't know. But the main thing was like, well, what the fuck did they die for? Like, so we can blow up some fields in the middle of nowhere, you know? I don't know. I think everybody, I guess it is easier in the Air Force just to focus on whatever task you have in front of you. Cause we're just, most of the time we're not looking at the battlefield. We're looking at the jet. We're looking at whatever system we're working on at the time. So, I can tell you for sure while I was deployed, it was very, like we watched Team America. I don't know how many fucking times out there, like, you know, it was very like patriotic. Fuck you. You know, the Olympics came on during that year we were there, the World Cup and shit. So, I think that's also kind of a coping mechanism. Like I didn't really process what I did and participated in what happened out there until, you know, not like I was in combat or anything, but like, I didn't really understand what I was doing and part of until later, until I came back and had time to like, oh, okay, fuck. Like the reason why this stuff doesn't make sense is because it's fucked up and it shouldn't be happy. Like that's why it's not, you know, meshing together. So yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the military, even, oh shit, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying like, I think a lot of people in the military, even if they're pogues and really didn't do anything, they don't really grasp like what the military is or really what the military does. I don't think anyone, especially, I mean, when you're, I don't know, most people are like 18, 19, like you're just like, the only thing you know is like high school and from your family. So you don't really know like the big picture, like anything like that. No one's given you, you know, fool's errand when you're graduating high school, like before you go into the military, like no one really does that. So all you know is from school or movies or your family that were veterans. That's where a lot of my information about the military came from.
Well, and dude, like what a fucking wake up call, right? Like what a real life situation you got yourself into. And it's just fucking kind of crazy. Cause you know, you go from, oh, I'm going to serve my country and like do these things and I'm fighting for freedom and this, that, or the other. And then you get there and you're like, wow, I've been drunk for 7 days. And then, and then you go on a deployment and you're like, wow, you know, I've been sleeping in random fucking areas on rocks for the last 2 weeks and I haven't had a shower. And we got shot at 3 times from people that we weren't allowed to shoot back at, or people that we weren't allowed to shoot back at and never hit. But we fucking destroyed this whole village on accident because these guys were near this village and the bomb got dropped 200 meters away from where it was supposed to. Or, you know, there's just so many things where it's like, that's your wake up to reality of what like being an adult is. First off, is like, oh, my decisions have consequences. And yeah, it's like, fuck, they have a lot of real consequences. And then second, it's like, oh, I'm in a war. Like, how do I deal with war? Like, how do I deal with killing a person? And don't get me wrong, the military actually does, like, one of the jobs they do phenomenally is they prepare you to go to war. They get your mindset ready for war. You kill all of them. That's your That's especially in the Marine Corps. I couldn't speak for the other branches, but I'm pretty sure it's very similar because they all follow a very similar path. But it's like, these people are evil. The people that we go and fight, regardless of what generation you're in, the people that we go and fight are evil, and you're going to have to kill people for it, and you're going to have to be okay with it. And this is how you're going to be okay with it, because they are, like you said earlier, Mike, they're others. They're not us. They're different from us. And if you don't kill them, they will kill you or your friends. And I think the big part is that they will kill your friends. And that's, for most people, I found that is a bigger incentive than getting killed yourself. I don't know if you guys felt the same way about that.
Yeah, for me, for sure. I was like, hey, like, I didn't even think about the war as a whole when I was doing my shit. It was like, oh, we got to watch out for the guys on the ground. Like, we're fucking Overwatch. Like, we're there to make sure that shit goes really bad, they got some backup. And that kind of helped. The other thing too is so they do such a good job of brainwashing you that if someone in your own peer group steps out of line, like they're at risk of physical violence. Like, and I've witnessed that. I've been part of it. You know, I'm not proud of it, but like,
yeah,
you know, you handle your shit and it's like someone just slightly steps out of the bounds that's acceptable within that group. And like, dude, that, like even in the Air Force, like we're not like some big badasses, but like we've beat the shit out of people before for doing shit that just seemed like, okay, what are you trying to say? Or like, you stepping out of the group type of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was weird. So, you know, you're talking about the realizations of shit. Whenever we had a lull, so there was about a 1 week window where there was a big ass fucking hurricane in the Gulf and we weren't flying anywhere. We did all our maintenance shit. Everything was loaded. We double, triple checked everything, got all the stuff fixed up, and it was like, okay, now what do you do? And of course, the military finds dumb shit for you. Like, oh, go fucking wash those rocks over there. Got to do the base beautification and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, whatever. But you still have some downtime. They can't think up that much shit in a 14 hours. You know, there's only so many fucking hours in a day. So, like, one of the things that struck me was, like, sitting out there on the ramp and watching all these jets fly or like, the dumb shit we were doing. Like, man, people are at home just like going to work, like at a Circle K or like fucking making a Subway sandwich or like going to school. Like most of my friends were like, well, the ones that weren't in the Marine Corps or the Army were in college and shit. So I'm like, well, what the fuck they're doing? Like, I'm just sitting here, you know, loading planes to go bomb brown people somewhere. I mean, I'm fucking, you know, 10,000 miles away from home. And I'm like, shit, dude, it's like 2 a.m. there or whatever. Like, just thinking about like how life is just moving on, like shit, like right now, like someone's just having a podcast, you know, and like there's still guys overseas like doing crazy shit or whatever. That to me was a weird exercise in thought, because it took me a long time to just wrap my head around it. I'm like, it's so strange that life is just continuing. And then those few moments kind of made me understand a little bit more what like the other side of the world goes through. Because when you hear about this shit going down in Mogadishu or like fucking uprising in Africa somewhere, or, you know, these Asian countries are having a revolution, you're like, oh, fuck, like it's real. Like their shit's real. It's not just something on TV. And meanwhile, the West is just like, man, I wonder what Britney Spears is doing today. Is she fucking, you know,
it's. Yeah, dude, that's something that I really ran into, because like when I was Intel, and when you're in Okinawa, Japan, like. I mean, yeah, I focus on like, you know, North Korea a lot and China, but like there's a whole bunch of other countries, around Japan that are doing a whole bunch of other shit. And there's like known terrorist organizations in the Philippines. So like I had to like, I mean, it wasn't like that crazy, but I was like literally just watching news headlines from whatever the hell's going on in these countries. And yeah, I mean, Japan was pretty normal, like pretty peaceful society overall, but it was weird. Like I never paid attention to that stuff that much when I was, you know, going to high school. Like I didn't know. So all I saw was like all these countries, like, yeah, going crazy, like riots or protests and revolutions and overthrowing of governments and all the nations that were involved in. I kind of knew a lot about that. So like, there's like literally one part of this world that's like the whole region's basically just like death, destruction, chaos. And then where we're at, it's like, you know, or we whine when fucking, you know, our American Idol didn't win first place that we wanted.
Yeah, I got weirded out a couple times in the Marine Corps, or not weirded out, where it was just a point in my life where I was like, I feel like I'm on pause here. Like, everybody else is moving on with their lives. And in the Marine Corps, it just felt like I was in a twilight zone. Like, weird shit would happen. Like, whether it was with, like, relationships or, you know, family stuff or, you know, anything else. And I was, like, cut off from that. Like, it almost, like, I was so secluded in this fucking cult that, like, it was just, like, I would think about what everybody else is doing, and I felt like I hadn't made any progress at all. And it was very, and you know, everybody, you tell that to people. I don't know how many times I told that to my parents. Like, I love my parents to death, and I told them that all the time, and they're like, no, you're doing something, you're getting experience in this, that, or the other, or whatever, and it's experience, and it'll be helpful. And then I came back to the real world, and it literally felt like I was trying to restart at 18 years old. Like, I was so, it wasn't, I was starting at 18. It was like, I went and lived in a different dimension for, you know, 4 years. Like, it sounds weird to say, but that's what it felt like, because the way I thought was completely different. These people had no idea who I was anymore. We went, Typo and I hung out with a couple of buddies a few times, when we were both in 29 Palms, and I hung out with some high school buddies that would let us crash at their house, and we were just so vastly different, and they were like my good friends from high school, but I had nothing in common with them, and I was completely, like, I was a completely different person, which is good. You should become a completely different person, but I don't know if it, and at that point in time, I didn't know if it was necessarily in a good way or a bad way. And then at the same time, it almost felt like I led a completely different life, that they didn't understand reality the same way that I understood reality. And that was a wild thought to me.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Bizarro Luke coming back.
Yeah. I felt, well, dude, I, honestly, even with the being in the, maybe you guys feel the same way, being in the libertarian sphere, it feels very similar. Like, I feel like I'm in a, or especially as an anarchist in the libertarian sphere, I feel like I live in bizarro world and nobody is seeing the things that I fucking see.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember feeling, I went to school when I got out. I don't know if you guys started school when you got out or not.
Tried to. I went for two and a half years, something like that. And then I was like, I can't do this anymore.
It's fucking weird. Like, you know, they have the Billy Madison meme where he's like, you know,
yeah,
would you use your GI Bill to go back to school? So it was a combination of things, because, like, yeah, you're a freshman, and I was like 21, 22, I think. Everybody else was like 18. There was like 17 year olds in some of my classes, and I'm like, the fuck am I doing? And yeah, your friends, like, most of my friends moved on to other stuff, or like some of them I'm kind of glad I grew, you know, apart from or whatever, because like they stayed, like they were just like the same fucking people in high school, which I was like, bro, you're in your 20s, like, at least, like, I know I didn't do shit for like 4 or 5 years, you know, I was in the military, but like, you guys, you're like, literally, yeah, still living with your parents, like smoking pot, like,
yeah,
not doing it.
A lot of
those
friends too,
which, I mean, you know, whatever, they, I don't care, but it's like, I have nothing in common with that kind of person. Like, I want to go do shit. I want to, like, try to improve my life, because especially, like, you guys probably seen it too, whenever you see, like, how another civilization kind of acts and how disadvantaged they are compared to us, we're like, no, you have to, like, find a way to feed yourself. Like, you have to fucking work your ass off to make sure that, like, you're not gonna die from some strange disease or just from hunger. It starts putting stuff a little more perspective, where you're like, you know, like, I'd feel bad that I was exhausted, I didn't want to work, you know, a third job and like do homework and shit or something. You know, when I got out, I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm like, there's people, or like even just your own folks that you knew that were deployed at the time. You're like, yeah, like they're fucking probably some shithole somewhere. Like, at least I could do is like get this fucking math assignment done or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I think,
but I'm still not going to do it.
I think one of the, you know, like, it's really cool that we had, like, our generation kind of had social media. So we were able to, like, talk to people a lot more when we're away in the military or whatever. But also, in a way, it's kind of like sucks because you get to watch all the people that you are friends with and your family, like, do all these events and they're posting pictures. And I mean, for me at first, like, I just wanted to get out of the house and go explore the world when I fucking joined the military. So, like, I didn't really care that much that I was missing family events at first. But then, after, like, I don't know, a couple of years in, like, I missed a few weddings. I started missing funerals and, like, that stuff, like, really, really started to get to me. And I think having social media kind of, like, made it a little bit worse in some aspects, just because it's like, well, wow, my grandpa just died and I can't even, there's nothing I can do. And they're not going to, I don't have enough leave or whatever. Or it's like in Japan, it's literally like a $1,300 plane flight.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really just come home whenever I feel like it. So like shit like that, that probably hurt. That was probably like the first things that I started, like, what the hell am I doing? Cause you know, at least our mentality in the Marine Corps was like, if you don't deploy, like, you don't do shit. Like, you, like, that's how people acted. Like, if you didn't deploy, you're not, like, you know, you're not a real Marine. You're not really doing anything. So, like, if you're not deploying, everything else is just bullshit. And that's all I dealt with, was just the bullshit all the time. So it's like, I didn't even have, like, get at least maybe somewhat of a feeling of, like, I'm doing something, making a difference. I'm like, maybe I'm saving whoever over there. But now I, like, the whole time I'm just fucking, well, what am I doing, dude? I'm just in Japan doing nothing. I'm in 29 Palms doing nothing. Like, dude, I said this before on the podcast, but I was in a tank battalion in the Marine Corps in 29 Palms. And we did a bunch of training with them and whatever. Now that unit, there's no more tanks in the Marine Corps. So we just wasted all that time expending ammo and all the shit we did for the tanks. And the unit just doesn't exist anymore. Like, it lasted another 12 years after they stopped using them in the Middle East, and then they just disbanded. Yo, so, like, everything after that I did for the training, it was just fucking useless.
Yo, doesn't that shit make way more sense now? Like, oh, why haven't they fixed this tank? Like, yeah. why haven't they fixed these tracks? Why haven't they fixed these things? And it's like, they already knew. That plan was already there. Like, it had to be. Like, that's not...
Dude, there was talks about it when I was there, there was already talks about, and they were like, yeah, well, the fucking major of the XO, that'll never happen because you need, like, tanks. Like, we're the cavalry nowadays, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But it's just crazy. And I mean, what you were saying with, like, the funerals and things like that, I didn't really have so much of that. I had a couple people, a family that died while I was in Japan, but they weren't anywhere. They were like great grandparents that I barely saw or things like that. So, I knew a lot of people that it affected very deeply. Like, and it's hard. And you do feel like your whole life is on pause for that. And, you know, that's one of the things about, you know, you're sacrificing for your country and you have to, you understand. That's the part that you do understand going into the military, right? Like, you have a general idea going into the military that's what it looks like. That I'm going to have to sacrifice those things. But it's everything else on top of that. It's like, I don't know why I'm here anymore. It's when you start to question that, when you're like, why am I here doing this? That's when shit gets fucked up.
Yeah. I used to joke with the guys. I tell them, like, yeah, dude, I get paid plenty to do my job, but I don't get paid nearly enough to put up with the bullshit on top of it. Like, you know, like all this extra, especially when you start seeing how stuff is, like, very not organized, very not precision, you know, like that was one of the things I was looking forward to, kind of was like, all right, it's going to be structured. I'm going to be with people who know what the fuck they're doing. And we're going to, you know, like, we're going to, like, kick ass. And it's like, oh, this dude is just some idiot who just didn't get out. So now he's like a chief master sergeant. He couldn't do anything else. So, but he's like an idiot. Like, literally he's done. Well, I shouldn't say chief. Our chief was actually pretty cool, but you know, those dudes that just stay in there and they're like, they can't do anything else, especially once they get in and they've been in there for a while. Like, there's no way they can readjust. I mean,
yeah,
for me, readjusting, it took a little bit, like trying to watch my mouth. Like, well, my first job was, I was stocking, alcohol shit over at Total Wine on Scottsdale Road in like Shea or something. In like middle of the way Scottsdale. They just opened up. And thankfully, the manager was an old Navy guy. You know, he retired and he like, I don't know, he had some degree. So he's like in charge of a store. But dude, I cursed like fucking crazy. Like,
dude, like you, it's like so you do. Hard. It's so hard when you first get out. I got in trouble in my classes because
yeah.
I gave a couple speeches and I'd be like fucking like and that was my so like in the military that's your that's your yeah,
it's not just anymore. It's fucking it's
fucking and it happened constantly and I would get in trouble in my classes. And I remember we had a big project at the end of one of my business classes in my first year in. It was like a business 101 class and it was basically writing, like making my resume. It was like one of the final projects. And then the other final project was giving like a business pitch. But I remember a couple like projects before that, cause it was mostly like public speaking. Like it was basically a public speaking class. And I remember specifically recording myself because I wanted to know what I was doing because I knew I was going to have problems from the military. And I'm very good at public speaking, but I knew I got incorporated into a certain way of speaking that was okay and that it's not going to be okay in the civilian world. So I was like, all right, I got to record myself. And I still got an A on the assignment, but I got an A minus. And they said, or the teacher was like, you said too many curse words. When you think, and instead of saying, he was like, I would rather you say, then like most people would be like, they would be like, you need to eliminate the word from your conversational speech. And he was like, you need to eliminate the word fucking from your conversation or your speech. And because I would be fucking go right back into whatever I was saying. He's like, everything else is great. But when you're trying to think about the next thing that you're going to say, you say fucking instead of like an or something like that. And I was like, damn, like that's fucked up. Like the fact that that was okay in the military. Like I gave speeches to E6s, O8s, like I gave speeches all the way up the chain and nobody had any problem with that.
It's like that fucking Idiocracy doctor.
Yeah.
yeah, dude, there was I don't know what page it was. When I got out, I still followed like a bunch of military shit. Cause I'm like, I don't speak civilian yet. Like, yeah. I got to get readjusted. So there was this one that was like, instead of saying the fuck are you doing? You cock guzzling fucking piece of shit. Try saying, yeah. Hey sir, could you please adjust? You know, yeah. I was like, okay, I need this translation. Like, that's actually helpful.
Yeah, people think those were memes were jokes. They're actual instructions for like people in the military.
Dude, it's so true. It's like you literally need a translation from military to regular civilian speak. Like it's so bad because how many times do you get called, hey, you fucking bitch, go do this? Like, yeah. You know, and it's not, and honestly, it's not in any demeaning way. It's just the lingo. Like they're not calling you a bitch because you did something wrong or did this or did that. It's just bitch. Like you're a bitch. Like he's a bitch. Yeah. Everybody's a bitch.
You know, I'm going to call you a
bitch. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
No, if you fuck up, they get way more creative than that.
Like, oh yeah.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
You're like, I've never heard these words before.
Yeah. When it gets creative, you're like, oh shit. Like,
yeah,
this is wild.
Yeah. That was always interesting. We always had like, it was always weird. Cause like the ones that's been in forever would like still use like old terms that like, you don't even really know what that really meant, but like you just by the context, you know, it's an insult. did he just say? What do you call me?
Yeah. Like one of, or Jared, he would always say that one of his gunnies called him either a turkey or a turbo. And because he didn't cuss. So he just used those in place of cuss words. And it's like, well, that's still a cuss word. Like you're still cussing at somebody. Like you're still calling them. Everybody knows what you mean, but he called them turkeys and turbos. And it's just the wildest thing ever because you just come up with lingo. And that whole platoon, I bet you will call people turkeys and turbos for the rest of their life because that's how they see it. It's a whole different society inside of the society.
When I was going through boot camp, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure the drill instructors were being told, like, when they were coming out of the school, I was like, hey, you're not supposed to cuss. They were trying to get drill instructors not to cuss as much. And well, the ones that like have been drill instructors for a little bit, they didn't give a shit about that rule. They said whatever they wanted. But the new, like the ones that you could tell when there was like a newer one, and like they would say like the goofiest, silliest things to you. Like one guy would just call us nasties. He'd be like, hey, nasty. And like, you're like, what? I'm like, okay.
The funniest place you're not allowed to laugh. Like boot camp.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Our TIs said, what the piss? Piss was apparently like just below whatever threshold they were given. I remember one TI, he was pissed. I can't remember what the hell was happening, but he was like, he couldn't think. He was so mad. So like his curse word replacement was just literally garbled nonsense. It's like flibbity flogger blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh shit. I was like, we're all gonna die now because he's having a stroke or like he's ascended to some other dimension of hate and we're just gonna be punished for it.
Well, yeah, now you sent me videos of them playing Legos and having their phones.
The fuck is that shit? Dude, even the Air Force wasn't like
that was Army boot camp too, wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody keeps like I've had a bunch of people talk to me about like the stress card thing in the Air Force. I'm like, that's not the Air Force. That was the Army. The Air Force never did that shit.
Yeah.
But I saw something recently it's Lackland in San Antonio, Texas. So they built them like new dorms and like have like they have like internet and shit. Like it's not even.
Yeah, I was there. My sister graduated Air Force boot camp in
fucking nerd.
Fucking like 2017, I think. And I mean she got like
you should have your sister on.
She just got out yesterday, actually.
Yeah, we should have her on.
Congratulations for her. But she had like one day or like a couple hours on Sunday or some shit where they gave them their phones. They were allowed to call. Like my mom talked to my sister when she was in boot camp and she's like, that's really weird because the only way we talked was through letters.
Yeah, if you're lucky you get to visit a payphone.
Yeah, there's some other things like some other things she said that I was like, wait, in boot camp or was that in like your tech school or whatever? And she's like, no, that was boot camp. I'm like, what? Like I can't remember exactly, but it was kind of crazy just how it's probably changed within like I don't know, that's like 9 years for you or whatever. And
yeah,
and like the things that like my dad tells me when he was in the Marine Corps, like I mean it's pretty true. Like they were pretty like hazing was way more acceptable back then and then it is now. But I mean, I don't know. It's weird because like the Marine Corps pushed for a lot of like, you know, anti-hazing stuff, but like there was just tons of cases of it. Yeah. I mean, maybe it deterred some people, but there was just, we'd hear rumors of like the grossest, most like fucked up shit did that they're like PFCs.
Well, like I never got shoved into a driver, but, or a dryer. I watched somebody else get shoved into a dryer though, like, and have to stay there for a couple minutes. Like that's hazing. And that's probably not conducive to training. Did the guy deserve it? Probably. Like he sucked as a person, sucked as a human being in general, but they still let him through boot camp. So like, well, did the putting him in a dryer actually work? No. So like, I get the hazing arguments and like some of the hazing, it's like somebody got bullied too much. Like I don't know how many guys I met where they got hazed and they were like, oh, I can't wait to become an NCO so I can haze junior Marines. And hazing in general was used as like a ritual to be like in any way, shape or form, like whether it was frats or military or whatever else, hazing has always, like for the most part, had been used to initiate somebody into a society or into a culture, you know? And I don't know if it's our generation or what it is, if it's the millennials or what. They see hazing, if they got hazed, like the earlier generations of millennials, when they got hazed, they just took it upon themselves to believe that that just means they can do whatever the fuck they want to younger people and just get away with it. And it wasn't an induction ceremony. It was,
I'm going to do this because I can. And it really fucked things up, because then it was like, that hazing is stupid.
Yeah.
Now well, they're like all cops.
Yeah. And it's like when someone is like, I don't really know, I've always heard this, but if someone has an abusive father, it's more highly likely that they're going to be an abusive father as well. And yeah. I think the same thing when you're going through the ranks in the military, that you saw what people did to you when you were the lower person on the totem pole. So then when you get a little bit of power and, you know, someone, you know, some Marine fucks up and like legitimately fucks up, and now you have that power and you're like, well, you know what I'm going to do? Exactly what they did to me.
Yeah. And it kind of fucked things over, because like it was like, for the most part, it was, I'm not saying all of it. I agree with a large portion of hazing. I'm not going to fucking lie. Because I think it shows you like, can I trust this person? It gives you a decisive measure to be like, all right, this person is cool. It's like for us, like Typo and I, we joke, you know, this, we've talked to you plenty of times. We joke. And it's like, if you can take the joke, then you're accepted in like the friend group of being able to, I can say whatever I want to and not really feel like I have to censor myself, or I like, if you were ever up here, I'd be more than welcome to have you come over to the house. But there's certain people where I say a certain joke and it's clearly a joke and everybody knows it's a joke except that person. And even if they do know it's a joke, they're going to take it a certain way where I'm like, all right, well, I would go and hang out with you in a public place if I had to. But I'm not going to seek you out and be like, hey, come over to the house for the fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's basically like kind of like an entrance exam in a way. It's like, yeah, you know, well, that's why, you know, I thought I'd almost get away with not talking about it, but, like, you know, this just hits right exactly into what I'm doing right now at the Mises Caucus. You know, people complain about messaging and like people getting their feelings hurt on Twitter and shit. And it's like, bro, if you're going to tuck tail and run because of some fucking meme or some mean words, I don't want you by my side when we're fucking really in the shit doing stuff against people who could crush us at any moment that they wanted to.
Literally, you know, just send state agents to your house for no reason other than a meme.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I don't want, like, everybody's like, oh, we're losing. I'm like, we're not losing shit. We're losing spineless cowards. If they're running because the Mises Caucus is making a little bit of progress in the LP, like, bye. Okay, you'd be useless. Like, do nothing. You'd just be muck beneath our boots trying to get through you to actually do the work. Like, we've had this, you know, some internal debates about messaging and stuff, but like, I've always come down, and there's different, you know, different people in the caucus feel differently because strategy, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
you know, maybe it's my military bias, but like, I don't want to take the little bitch that can't handle the hazing or whatever it is. Like, we're about to face people who will not hesitate to gun you down in broad daylight and then charge you for resisting arrest or some bullshit. Like it's your fault, you know, like, in Phoenix, we've seen, you know, Ryan Whitaker, you know, Shaver. Dan Shaver, like, dude, he was compliant. Both of those situations, those people were completely 100% compliant, and the state executed him without a second thought, no punishment. They maybe got some paid time off while they investigated themselves. Maybe the taxpayers had to pay a settlement to the family. I think in one of the cases that happened, but like, that's the people we're going up against. So if you can't take a fucking online joke, just like with the hazing thing, like, I think there's a good way to do it to where you actually weed out the weak and you're not just like,
fucking people over. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you could just, people who don't understand what the ritual is, I think are the people that fuck it up. Like, they're just being assholes at that point, because it's not constructive. You're not testing to see if that person can take the stress and like, if they really want to be there. You're just being a dick because,
yeah,
you know, whatever reason.
Well, and it's usually because they didn't understand it when they went through it. And then they're like, oh, it means I can do whatever I want to. So when they get to do it, they do something fucking completely. I honestly believe this is true. Like, I may be completely wrong, I don't give a shit, but I honestly believe it's true. Like, I honestly believe like they had to go through something that they didn't agree with, and they probably shouldn't have been accepted into that thing, but they did it. So they were, And then they got the power and they were like, this means I can do whatever I want to. And then they absolutely abuse it and make a dude suck their dick or something like that. Or, you know, they do something asinine where it's like, all right, this isn't what we were talking about. And majority of the other people around them are like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? That's not what we wanted. That's not what we were talking about. And that's not how we do this. And they continue to do it either because they're bigger than everybody else, or they just get away with it because they have more power than everybody else. And that's kind of like the problem with hazing, where it's like, if it's used incorrectly, then it's going to be used incorrectly on purpose.
Yeah. No, yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. I think the messaging that's coming from the Mises Caucus, cause like, I mean, I kind of agree with Pete Quinones when he talks about, yeah, we need to weed these people out of the Libertarian Party. And I kind of agree with them in some way about that. But I think that the messaging that the Mises Caucus sends is going to weed them out anyways. Like they're just going to leave on their own. And like, it looks like a shit ton of them have, or that whatever exactly
after the last like month and a half, it seems like a lot of people that needed to leave left.
Yeah. A lot of us are sitting around like, oh, okay, you guys aren't even going to put up a fight. Like we're supposedly these horrible, terrible racist Nazi people marching in here and you guys are just tucking tail and running. Like, so what happens if actual like authoritarian thugs show up? Like you guys can't even handle us. And we're not, all we're doing, dude, is we're recruiting people, we're training people, we're getting people to show up and participate in like the boring bureaucratic bullshit stuff that happens, and we're winning. And they're like, oh, okay, we're just gonna give up, I guess. I mean, I don't really understand it. You know, some people have speculated they've got some other plan. I don't know. I mean, if they do, then I don't know what it would be, but it looks more to me like they're just like, you know, rage quitting essentially. And it's like, you know, we've got a real, we haven't gotten to the real game yet. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, good riddance. If they want to grow a spine and come back, like fine. But, you know, the rest of us, as far as I'm concerned, are going to need to do, you know, some bullshit work, you know, all the boring political stuff behind the scenes, but it's worth it. I mean, I hate paperwork. I hate doing bureaucratic stuff, but like I do it because I know what the end result's going to be and how it's going to be able to affect, you know, like especially with this fucking COVID stuff. Like, you know, people finally realize that the tyrant closest to you is probably the one you need to take care of first, you know, and those local offices matter.
Yeah.
You've seen exactly. Cities fight with the state over this shit here in Arizona.
Yeah, it's been big. I mean, Typo and I were just talking yesterday about the ballot count thing that's going on right now in Arizona, and it's getting wild. It's getting wild.
I feel bad I haven't kept up with that because I was like, well, they're going to do their status stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So I've just been like, plus I've been busy, but yeah, I've heard like there's some legit issues that they're actually finding. And I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, ooh, on the other hand, I'm like, they're going to bury that so deep. Yeah. And the general public is already not paying attention. They're focused on like Delta Force variant from outer space COVID or some shit.
Or in January 6th.
Yeah.
January 6th or Cuba.
Yeah. Fucking insurrection.
Well, I know Typo needs to get out of here. We'll have to get you on to do a Mises only episode, so we can talk about some of the things that you and I have talked about and you and I and Typo have talked about, because I really do. I'm really glad that you're the one that we met first in the Mises Caucus. Honestly, I mean, we met Pete. We met, I guess, Shane. He wasn't really a part of it yet. But for here locally, it was better that we met you before we met anybody else in the Libertarian Party. And I just want, before we end the show, so Typo can go to work, I want you to throw out some of the things so people can, because I've had a shit ton of people ask me, hey, how do I get involved with the Mises Caucus here in Arizona? And I'm like, just message Mike McFarland on either Facebook or, well, no, actually, I think I just say Twitter or Instagram, because that's where I follow you or I see you the most. But I see you on Facebook as well. But go ahead and throw out your stuff so people can find you.
and maybe we'll get more Meacocks.
So Twitter, I'm at AnarchActual. If you want to follow me on there, I don't fucking tweet as much as I should. I just like watch Luke and Typo shit post all the time.
dude, but I'm posting about MXC today, dude. Like I wasn't doing much. I was talking about a fucking Japanese game show all day.
Dude, I forgot about that shit. That just triggered so many memories. But yeah, AnarchActual on Twitter. If you want to get involved with the Mises Caucus, if you're not sure you want to sign up first, just reach out to me. I can give you the lowdown before you like submit your info to us. But if you do want to start getting involved, go to takehumanaction.com. You can get your info. It goes right to me. I'm pretty good about reaching out to folks within a couple of days, sending you some questions and shit. And yeah, we'd love to have you. We got the state convention coming up in January, which is going to be some pretty good times, I think.
Oh yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a fight. So I'm excited about that. That's what we got going on for the most part. But if you're interested, takehumanaction.com. Reach out to me on Twitter, AnarchActual, or just bug Luke some more, and maybe he'll fucking just tag me in some shit.
I just send them the link to your Instagram or your Twitter, depending on what they what they ask me on.
Is that why I keep getting all this gay porn?
No, that's just me. I'm like, hey, you like this? I like this.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. I guess we'll get out of here so Typo can go do boring adult stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's not like actual adult stuff. It's axe throwing, so it's nothing crazy.
Oh, axe throwing. Is that what they're calling OnlyFans now?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, yes, Typo and I have axe throwing to go do right now.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to get off. But thanks
again. Send me the link. I'll sign up.
We have a Patreon. Thanks for coming on, man. We'll definitely get you back on for a Mises episode because you and I should talk about that because I got some questions. I'm getting nervous about everything.
But, I got answers.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I wanted you on. But Typo, you got any last words?
I just want to say thanks for coming on, man. Honestly, like Lou said, if it wasn't you, and I don't know, it's probably because I'm biased and like it was another military guy and it's easy to talk to, but yeah, you really broke it down, made it easy for us to like understand we don't know shit about like what the fuck the party is or like how it works, and you're like, yeah, you throwing out like delegates and like I didn't even know like it's been Joshua Smith at large, and like it wasn't until Josh Smith came on our podcast and he's like, no, that's an actual position in the party. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't about his dick or anything. That was
yeah, it's definitely not about his dick. We saw it. Just
yeah. But thanks for coming on, man. And really appreciate everything you do.
Thanks, man. You guys take it easy.
Yeah, you too, buddy. All right. That's the fucking shit show. Hope you guys enjoyed. We out.